Here we are. I am. There it is. Hi, everybody. It's Christina and Cindy, and it is time for another episode of
Engines Off.
Engines Off. Yes. That's right. So, Sin.
Yes.
We're having it. Today's a beautiful day.
It is.
Yeah.
It
a lovely is. May day. I thought maybe it's going to rain a little bit today, but it still might.
Very sunny out.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yep. So, it is good to be here with you guys. We've got a really great show today. We were just talking off camera with our guest today, and I think she's got a lot of really interesting stories to share, and we're really looking forward to it. But first, before we bring her on, let's talk about what we've got coming up in June, which is just around the corner.
Yes, we are going to be at the Chicago Abilities Expo in Schaumburg.
Yep.
And we are very excited about that. June 20th through 22nd, we're going to have...
Which is a Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yes. And we're going to have a variety of different products there. We've got caregivers that have developed products. You know, there's always that need basis.
Yep. The coolest part.
Yeah. And that's the best part of what we do is we get to work with those innovators and, you know, that had been caregivers, learn their stories, learn how they developed this and what need that fulfilled.
Yeah.
And then bring it to everybody else because there's so much out there and so many things that people don't know about.
Yeah. So we're at booth 1001. So if you're in the Chicago area, it's actually in Schaumburg. And if you're in the Chicago area, we'd love for you guys to come out and see. We got a pretty decent sized booth.
Yes, we do. So it's going
to
be fun.
Yeah. So yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Come out and talk to us, talk to some of the, we love introducing, people to the inventors.
Yes.
Because sometimes sometimes we'll bring them with us.
Yeah.
And this time in particular, we got a lot of them with us.
That's right.
We would love to introduce you to the inventors because, like you said, Cindy, they start off as caregivers.
Right.
And they found a need and they filled the gap. And so then they reached out to us and we made a video for them and a product review video for them. And now we're trying to spread the word about their their product because, you know, it's kind of hard sometimes.
Yeah.
Some of the, especially with small businesses.
Right.
Because, you know, you're going up against these big box stores or these big online companies that have the money.
And speaking of that, we're trying to work with our inventors and we're developing our AE Corner Superstore. So we want you to check that out for sure.
So AECSuperstore.com is where you could go to see a lot of these products.
Yep. So we want you to check that out for sure because we are kind of building that. There's a lot of different products on there, but we are trying to focus initially on a lot of these products that we have seen and we have tested. So check that out. And then we also have our Epic.
Yeah.
I guess
community.
Epic. Community, I don't know what's pronounced.
Which is the Adaptive Equipment Product Innovators Community.
Yes. So if you are a product innovator, if you're a caregiver and you had developed a product, you know, reach out to us. We love taking a look at that. We are trying to really help those innovators and we're trying to work as a collaborative to lift everybody up because it's hard. Like you said, as a small inventor or, you know, it's hard
small
to get
business.
That, yeah. Hard to get that product out there.
We like to call it collaborative capitalism.
That's exactly right. So
I feel like we need to probably talk with Crystal about that here.
Yeah, we will
bring her out.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely.
we've got Raquel in the audience. Hi, Raquel. Yes. Hola. And Sia's in the audience already. Welcome.
Welcome.
Thanks for joining us this morning. And
shall we get to our guest?
I think we should.
I think it's time.
Yeah, let's do. Okay. So today on Engines Off, we're thrilled to welcome Crystal Gallo. For the past 15 years, Crystal has led product and operations teams at high-growth tech companies, always with a deep passion for using technology to tackle tough problems. But her most powerful inspiration came from a personal place, her experience as a family caregiver for loved ones facing dementia and cancer. That journey led her to found InnerHive, a company dedicated to transforming how we care for one another and working to end caregiver burnout. Crystal is a lifelong learner and a bold changemaker, and we can't wait for you to hear her story. Crystal, welcome.
Hi, guys.
So glad to have you with us.
Thanks for joining.
It was fun. We made it happen.
Why don't you tell us your story about how InnerHive came to be, about how you were in tech industry, and then and now you've got and now you're sharing your skills with the caregiver industry.
Yeah, I like that perspective. I'm definitely a tech baby, so to speak. I've grown up in tech, lived around tech, you would think I would kind of bleed tech. That's not always the case. For this particular, you know, shift in my career, professional life, it was personal. I think like most caregivers, you just kind of find yourself in an unexpected position, whether it's starting with just helping or a crisis. And for our family, it was the latter. And, you know, we kind of got a call and we were in a situation. We had a very short period of time. We did the best we could with what we knew. Certainly in retrospect, there's a lot of things that, you know, looking back, I think we maybe would have changed, or it would have been great to have a little bit more insight or guidance from others. But it gave me a really new perspective, a pretty profound perspective, actually. It opened up a lot of, you know, ability to have conversations with friends, with colleagues, with other families, with team members. Certainly that wasn't easy for me. You know, I've kind of not always been the best at blending my personal and my professional. So this was new on that level as well. But I found myself in a position where that pressure, that struggle was kind of coming to a head. And so whether or not I was ready to share, it was going to come out anyway. So, it was really great to be able to talk to others and recognize there's actually a lot of people that are dealing with this feeling of isolation, feeling overwhelmed, just completely drowning in coordinating care. And it's hard because my grandmother, we moved them across country. She had dementia. My uncle had cancer. And we knew when that situation kind of popped up, it was a unique one. And it was you know, far more reaching than one individual, because my grandmother had been helping my uncle who's navigating cancer. And so we knew that when we got the call from the hospital, she had an accident, an investigation, license pulled, dementia diagnosis, can't release her, needs 24/7 care. I mean, it was a domino effect.
Yeah.
It was one of those where it was kind of a dyad, and we had to recognize that they both, you know, were at a place where they needed 24/7 support and care. And it wasn't easy. We only were able to pack up what we could fit in a car, and this was during the pandemic, so we drove across country. But that's really what shaped my perspective and inspired InnerHive.
Wow. So before we dive into the InnerHive part of it and the questions about that, and you mentioned, and I think this is true for a lot of people, for family caregivers in particular, one day they're not a family caregiver and the next day they are. And with you being younger, what would your advice be, or any resources, or what advice would you give to a new caregiver just coming into it and like waking up and being a family caregiver, knowing what you know now?
Yeah, it's kind of two part. I think I failed, you know, I think if you're someone that's resourceful and you can kind of tap into things, that feels like it's easy. I mean, we used to think, oh, we're working remote, we'll figure this out. No, we were wrong. We talked to people, we put processes in place, we put cameras up, we set a schedule. We thought we could figure it out, but we absolutely could not. We needed to focus on what was the most important piece of information. How do we get that stuff organized? And then the thing that I had forgotten was you get so consumed with care that you really want to help and you want to be there and you want to offer and extend so much to those that you love or those that you're caring for, that you forget, you forget totally about yourself, and you just move through days and you miss the signals. And then before you know it, you're kind of shutting down. You're not really connecting with others. And I think if there's one thing I can say, even if it's just a community of one, starting somewhere with just one person that can empathize, one person that can understand, and if they can't understand, at least let them in so that you've got an outlet to be able to listen and provide some relief. I think that's really, really important for, you know, from like a wellness perspective.
Yeah. And that's so huge. I know, I feel like when a person becomes a family caregiver, first of all, it's sudden. And then because it's so sudden, I think that lends itself to feeling isolated, you know, and so you don't, I don't think that's uncommon, Crystal. So I agree, you know, and there's a whole industry out here that's just wanting to help, right? So finding that person that maybe you could reach out to might open doors for other resources and other ways to feel a part of a community so that you're not so isolated. I think that's really great advice. So let's get started then. So the first question I have for you is, given your background in high growth tech, so you're a tech person, you said sometimes you think you might believe it. what drew you to the challenges of the caregiving space? So obviously you were kind of tossed into the caregiving space happened. What drew you your thoughts of well, the tech and then bringing the caregiving industry together, marrying those two together?
Well, that's an interesting way of framing it. I wouldn't say, you know, kind of like you are put in a position where you're unexpectedly moving from helping to caregiving or maybe a crisis. This wasn't anything that I necessarily planned. I've always had a passion for wellness. I always love connection, community. But certainly I think this came from just a deep rooted place of empathy. It was, I recognize that I can share an understanding and experience along so many other people, and that gives me a different purpose. It's, for me, it's the first time in my professional life where I've ever had the chance to address something that meant, you know, something so close to home, and it caused a level of, I know heartache and burnout maybe can have some negative connotation, but it evoked something that created a fire to want to do and be part of a bigger change. And I know a lot of people told me I was crazy. I know, you know, even colleagues and people that I've worked with are like, you really need to focus on business and go. And there's a lot of concern around when you do something that's, you know, highly emotional, when you do something that's oriented in wellness, it takes time. You're working with people. Right. And, you know, a lot of times business has a little bit of a black and white mentality and it's very money driven. And so I got a lot of friction. People saying, no, like, stay away, focus on what you're good at, don't go there. But I really believe when you sit with a problem and when you talk with others and you feel that struggle and you have that common thread together, you can find a way. Like there's something that you can do to create for those that really need it, not just for business, not just to make money. Like it's an actually, you're solving the problem for people. It's a, you know, a deeper purpose.
Wouldn't you say too, Crystal, that even though being in tech, there's still that, you know, and now comparing it to caregiving, there's still that, you know, ability or that drive to be a problem solver. It's just the problems are a little bit different, right?
Yeah.
So I'm sure you're on a team when you were in tech, you know, you were probably a member of a team and, you know, so then going to caregiving, you get, it's just a different team, right?
Yeah.
And so did you, how did you explain to those people who are like, Crystal, you need to just, you know, stay in it for money and you need to, you know, this is, you know, you need to be out there making money and not worry about this kind of stuff. Was there a way that you could help them understand or relate?
I don't think I necessarily explained. I appreciated the perspective that they were coming from and I agreed to disagree. out of respect, like I get it. If they haven't been there, there's a lot of people that feel like I'm never going to be a caregiver. I'm never going to need care. And I appreciate that perspective. And I maybe once held that myself, but I also feel like that's a little naive when we think about the system that we all live in and we're all prone to incidents and accidents and we all have really good intentions. So, you know, that's their perspective. That's what they're holding right now. But I said, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm going to go and figure this out, even though it's high risk, even though it might fail. I know I'm going to be able to look myself in the mirror. I'm going to feel good. I'm going to pursue something that means a lot to me. Yeah. And if I fail, I fail. So like failure is just a feedback loop. You figure out, okay, what do you do differently? You know, you listen to families, you meet with more people, you iterate, you figure something out. The system, the whole situation of care, the whole navigating through life, there's endless possibilities. So I don't really take a whole lot of stock in people that say, you know, this isn't going to work, or you're not going to make money. It's not always about making money. And it doesn't need to work perfectly out of the gate. Like it might take time, but you got to listen to the people, you got to understand, you got to have that, you know, maybe if you don't go through it, you got to find the people that have and really value what they're asking for, what they're sharing.
That's right. You know, we had talked earlier to you before we started a little bit about that fact, kind of what you're saying is, I like your perspective as a caregiver, but also a tech person. Mm-hmm. And you're coming from it as a caregiver into the tech, using tech to help you in that realm, rather than as a tech person using the tech and coming into the caregiver space. We talked about a little bit about that, and there's a lot of technology out there, and there's a lot of great technology out there. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we run into technology that is not focused, really. It's more focused on the technology rather than what is it going to benefit the caregiver? How is this going to work for the caregiver? So we appreciate your perspective on that. That's a big, that's a big leap to take. And we understand that because we're kind of in that same, that same boat. You know, we do this because it's our passion.
Right.
And so we appreciate that.
So Crystal, can you tell us, having kind of covered that now, can you tell us about your company, the Inner Hive?
Sure. Yeah. What do you want to know? Where do you want to start?
Tell me. So we know that that was kind of your, you know, segue from big tech into caregiving. You saw a problem, right? So there's your entrepreneur spirit, your entrepreneurial spirit. You saw a problem, and you thought, you know what, InnerHive, that's what's going to solve it. So what problems? What kind of problems or bridges does InnerHive bridge?
Yeah, maybe even if I rewind, you know, something that you guys had said when you were just covering the perspective of people come at technology and they often think, I want to solve a problem. I don't know what it is. Maybe it doesn't sit with me. Maybe I don't understand it quite enough. So I'm going to create something and it's vanilla enough. And then I'm going to find somewhere to put it or place it.
Yes.
And that couldn't be more far from, I feel like, the experience of InnerHive. So we started with, you know, me going through this experience, me being able to talk with friends, family, teams, understanding that there's this shared struggle. And then we opened up and had the privilege of talking with hundreds of families. We spent a quarter just connecting with hundreds of families to understand what was their story, what was their struggle, what did they need. Those conversations, that's what inspired. That's what kind of brought in our focus. And we, like I said, we're always going to be iterating and things might shift. But we were able to rally behind the biggest reoccurring pain point. Everyone kept saying, it's so hard. I'm so overwhelmed. There's so much information. I don't know how to manage it. And, you know, when you had asked me earlier, what was my piece of advice? And I said, well, it's two parts. You know, there's this, find one person in your community, because often you're just flooded. Here's the discharge. Here's this person. And before you know it, you've got a stack of information. I was like, I just need one person I can talk to. And maybe they can help me whittle down, like, what tool can help me sift through and kind of like figure out how to remove the noise from the information. And we really focus on that. So we've got an effort right now that is centered around note-taking. So its intention is to record, capture, and summarize crucial conversations. Because we were hearing families say, you know, you're thrown in these situations and then you have all these appointments and then you're trying to, you know, get current on everything, pull in more care team members, and I can't remember. I can't even be present. I don't remember what questions to ask. I missed what they said. I got a new definition diagnosis thrown at me and I was like spinning and I had to Google it. And so who knows what else? And you miss the details. And so we recognized a lot of the feedback from family was, listen, if we could help you, you know, if we could take something off your plate, not add to it, and we can make it really easy. It's just tap and go. You can record, we can give you the summary of notes. You've got clear action items. You can kind of share the care with those that are in your support network. It just makes it easier. It lightens the load a little. It also kind of removes and helps you focus on like, what's the most critical right now? Because a lot of times in the beginning, it's just getting through those appointments and then figuring out like, what does that care routine look like in terms of, you know, who, where, types of medication, you know, shifts to support at home, shifts to bring, you know, new people in and onboard. So.
Is it with InnerHive, it feels like it's you as the family caregiver are building a community, so to speak, on it's an app. And so you're building a community on you're building your InnerHive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. It was modeled after, if you were lovers of nature, and so bees, the social structure is phenomenal in terms of how they operate, their resiliency, the connection and teamwork. And so it's a little spin on that. People talk about their inner circle, and we really loved the structure of bees. So we kind of smashed them together for InnerHive.
I love that. So is it something, so then let's say, kind of walk me through it as if I'm a family caregiver and I just stumbled upon I just found out, I was watching this and I found out about InnerHive. Tell me about, what would I do as the main family caregiver or the person that's setting up my InnerHive? What would I need to do first after I download the app and set up a dashboard? What kind of information am I looking to pull together to add to my dashboard?
Yeah. So the beauty of InnerHive is that it's designed to grow with each caregiver. So we recognize that caregivers at different stages in the journey, when they're coming in, they're looking for different things. You know, some of the common, you know, learnings that I would say we found from feedback early on, but also feedback as we've been in the market, is people need help making sense of the information that's coming at them. They have a million things coming at them every day, and they need to be guided, and they need to understand, like, where is a community hub? Where is my point of truth? Where can I go to see all the people and places in a really nice visual, so I recognize what is my community at home? You know, what is my community socially? What is my medical, whether that's primary or specialists? What does my living situation look like? It's just a really great way to capture all that, so you can kind of build empathy, share the situation. It makes advocating for your where you're at in your journey much easier. And then you've got different, you know, resources. So if you want to connect with, you know, shared resources, we have a resource catalog. If you want to push updates out to your family instead of, you know, jumping on, you know, 5 different phone calls or 3 different text chains, you can go in and maybe under the neurology appointment, you can put a note and you can push it out and your family gets notified and updated. And so you've got a nice log of here's everything that's happening. So people, even when they're, you know, carrying across state lines or across country lines, you feel like you're there, you're present, you're in the mix, you're not missing any important contextual information. Mm-hmm. And that's really why that note taking is so critical too, because so many people have said, you know, I go there or I can't go there, and maybe I need my partner to go on my behalf, or I need to share with my family, or bringing in a new care manager, or, you know, maybe respite. And so having those crucial, you know, action items of, you know, here's the next appointment, here's the steps that you need to take for nutrition, here's what's, you know, critical, it just, it removes it. It makes it no more than a handful of things that you have to focus on. And that's gold because you're swimming, you're so overwhelmed. And it's a lot.
It is. I think it'd be easier to shut down, you know, just to shut down again, to pull back and pull away. Crystal, I want to keep talking about this, but first we need to go to our first sponsor, Tausi Brands.
Falling asleep with your neck in the wrong position can be a real pain in the neck. Literally. People of all ages are falling for Tausi. Tausi gives you the comfort you've always dreamed of. Go to TausiBrands.com and get your comfort on.
Awesome. We love Tausi. I could bring the camera down a little bit lower, you would see Cindy's actually has a Tausi in her chair. She uses it as a low back support. So with the information, I love that, because we were talking about how you get bombarded as a caregiver, you get bombarded with that information. So not only with InterHive, can I share that information with other people in my community, other caregivers or other family members or people that I want in my InterHive? Is there something, so when you were talking earlier about a new diagnosis or a new medication. Is there something where you can actually, a resource on in InterHive where you can go and find out about that particular diagnosis instead of having to leave and go to Google and do all this Google search? And
So we have like a little interactive AI chat in there, so that if you have a question and you're like, hey, what is dementia? Help me understand some questions I should be asking my doctor. What are some, you know, situations I should be aware of? You can go in, and that's in there. She's called B. So we've got a little chat for people that have a burning question, or they just maybe want, they have some curiosity around things that they could benefit from guidance or insight.
I love that. Now, can they, so the resources are written and it sounds like it's interactive with B. Are there videos or anything that people can refer to as a resource?
We don't have a video. We don't have a resource catalog that includes video tutorials or how to's. Certainly, I think that's a great idea. I think in the future, we've had a lot of people share feedback, and the resource catalog that we have is actually community driven. So we had so many people in the very beginning saying, hey, where do I go for this? And then the next question would be, do you trust them? Did you have a good experience? And so we had said, we're getting so much community curiosity, and we've got so many people in the community that have had good experiences. Let's open the door. Let's let them share those resources with others. And then if you were to think about it as something like a Yelp or Google, right, you can go in and you can rate it. So as a new caregiver, you come in, you land in InterHive, you're quickly, you know, shown this is kind of what you can do. It's really about getting informed. So you've got that interactive chat. It's about getting connected. It's building that augmented community, a care map, so you can see all the people and places. It's about getting organized, which starts with the note-taking. So capturing all the information, giving you clear action items, giving you the ability to easily share and then organize it into the respective place. And so that's kind of like when people come in, those are the three spokes of what we're trying to aim at helping them with.
So with the information or the note gathering, is it, describe that a little bit more to me. So if I take my mom to the doctor and the and I'm in there and I've got my InnerHive app up, is that something that I would click on and say, and just have it translate as the doctor's talking, or take the, or just transcribe it as he's talking or she is talking?
Yeah, bingo. So it's super easy. Okay. It pops up, you see a little microphone, you hit record. It says, you know, does everyone agree to being recorded? Yes. And then it transcribes it. And then at the very end, so you sit there, you can be present, you know, you have the option to take notes if you want. You can add documents in there if you want. You can share these notes after with whomever makes sense. But it literally transcribes the entire conversation. It summarizes it. So you've got the full detail, and then you've got, here's some themes, you know, things are great, PT was going well, we're gonna do check-in in 6 weeks. Action item is schedule an appointment with a doctor next week and make sure you do, you know, hip pigeon stretches for your hip flexors or whatnot. So it simplifies, but it's got kind of for both learners. So you got the detail, you got the length. You can easily kind of send it along, and then it shares it in your NoteHive. So it's a great reference for people that want to go back and look and kind of see progress over time.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's amazing.
Yeah.
Because it really is. Having parents that are aging, you know, mm-hmm. you could go into the doctors right. and being present with her. I mean, I am my mom's daughter. I want to be present for her as a daughter and not be this note taker that's just, you know, having to scribble away because she's hearing it as I'm hearing it, you know, and so there might be something where I need to provide for her needs. So having that note taker there, you know, I think that's,
plus, I can't ever read my notes after I've written them. So there's that. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Tell me about
many different reasons.
Tell me about like prescription medications or like medication management organization. Do you have anything in there for that?
We do. Yeah. So specifically, again, this visual that shows all the people and places, there's the care recipient at the center. So a photo of them, there's some context around if they've got, you know, any notes around routines, you can put their allergens, you can put their diagnoses, you can also put any medication. So you can just take a picture of the bottle and then upload it. And then that way you can track if something changes in terms of the medication or dosage. But again, you've got a nice kind of history there, because a lot of times medication management is really tough. It's time consuming, super easy to make errors on when things are changing so quickly. So we wanted to have a place to capture that as well.
That's awesome. So with the medication, I know, you know, we're both healthcare workers. And so, you know, when you're dealing with, you know, your patients and stuff, medication is huge to them. And not just what they take it for, what does it look like? Because I, as a senior, now I want, nope, that's not the color, you know, maybe it was generic, you know. And so you get a lot of pushback. Is there a way for you, for me as the caregiver, to go, no, mom, this is the right medication, it's just generic, like for them to see a picture of it? Or
we have a document center, so we have people that, you know, I'm jumping ahead, people are at different places in their journey. You've got some that are new, some that are in active care. We see a lot of people that are in active care, you know, they've kind of gotten this new diagnosis, or they have a chronic condition, and then maybe they have, you know, someone they're caring for that has a medical complexity. And so typically the duration of that's longer and they're a little bit more seasoned. And then of course you've got people that are planning for end of life. And so we have all of those, you know, each journey you can find value in InnerHive, and we have a checklist that helps you understand about advanced care planning, estate planning. Nice. We've got a place where people, if they want to upload documentation in terms of, you know, here's my insurance, here's my, you know, power of attorney, here's my HIPAA release. It's just so easy. And then you can, different permission levels. So you can share with people that have the access to edit and change, right? So you're co-owners. And then, you know, the other options, you can share with people that are viewers. We've had families that just want to bring in respite care or babysitter, or they want to, you know, consider an activity center for the day. And it's really critical that they pass off this information. So should something happen, you know, when an ambulatory video or, you know, if they would have to go to a center, they've got all the relevant information at their fingertips. Because a lot of people, you know, it's hard. At the end, my uncle became nonverbal. So we had to really understand and be there to advocate. And it's really important, the nuances. You figure out, you know, what those facial expressions are, or, you know, it's just different. People communicate differently. And it's really important to understand that context. because it just shifts how you can, it shifts how you can respect and interact with them. It shifts, you know, what the outcome could look like when you're informed and you're able to help others and guide them on what it means. So important to have docs in the center with pictures and upload.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, and I think, you know, as a speech therapist, it's, you know, people kind of turn to speech therapy to go, I don't understand, maybe they had a stroke and I don't understand what they're saying, or maybe they're Parkinson's and their voice is diminished. You know, it's so, and so I can't, you know, this is your loved one. You know, you probably know a little bit more than I would know about just hearing the sounds that are coming out of their mouth, but we are communicative human beings, regardless of what your level of language is concerned, you know? So having that and at least being able to sit down and co-attend to these pictures or to this information with your loved one, I think really validates that person, your loved one, as still being a communicative human being. Crystal, we had a question in the audience about, let's see, she wanted to know, how is the data entered in the app kept secure?
Yeah, so we go through the protocol for HIPAA compliancy. So we've got a team that is trained. We use Amazon Web Cloud, so there's no better security in terms of what that looks like with how they're holding the data. The people that do have access, there's different gates that they have to go through. Everything is encrypted, so nothing is identifiable. Nothing connects back to you, whether it's just sitting there in storage or it's moving. So we've taken all the process and protocol very seriously, and we've put that in place.
Good question. Is awesome. Yeah. You talked about, you know, it almost sounded like a vetting process that you have, because with your members, they're looking more into these outside resources or these other resources, and they're wanting to know from you, is this a trusted resource? How do you vet those companies to let your users know that you guys trust them, they are a trusted resource?
Yeah, so that's the beauty of the community-centric resource catalog that we have. Is that community members, if they've had a good experience with something, they can actually go and put a request in and say, hey, I had a really great experience with Caregiver, you know, Action Network, and I want to share them so that others that are new could maybe find resources from them, or Elder Care Locator, or, you know, some are local, some are national. So our community members are the ones that elevate, and they're the ones that speak up and say, I had a really great experience with this, I trust them. And then that way they can kind of share with others. So it's not necessarily us going, we're trusting that people that are in the mix understand and have had good experiences, and they're the ones that are elevating that, so they can then share that with the network, because it's hard, it's really difficult, because you can vet a business, and today they could be a great business and they could go through a leadership change or they could go through an ownership change, and tomorrow or a year from now they may not be, and a lot of businesses don't, you know, have a way to govern that, or they don't stay diligent on that because it's time consuming. So community members that are in the thick, that we're actively caregiving, we know because we're working with these organizations and advocacy groups. And so it's really important that caregivers have a voice. I think that's one of the challenges in this entire situation is family caregivers in particular have been, you know, I don't want to say, I don't know the right word for this, but there's, you know, they've been struggling. They've been struggling in silence. They're not always talking about it. It's not that the system is broken because, you know, people have poor intention. It's just we have a lack, you know, people are compassionate. People want to help, but there's just a lack of tools and support. And so find the tools that are going to remove, you know, take stuff off your plate, make it easier, and find that support, that one community member, even just one person that's starting there, because people mean well. We just have a really broken, I don't even know that I would call it a system, frankly. It's just tough. So caregivers really need to be valued. Their voice needs to be heard. They have a lot of important things that they should be bringing to the table. And half the time, you know, you guys are healthcare workers. As a caregiver, if you're in a position, people that live in a rural place, and this is where we struggled for a little bit because we didn't have anyone there to help us. And so we knew, well, we better learn how to change the bandage and clean the feeding tube. And like, there's so many things because you can't always afford to bring someone in, or you're not living in an area where you have the resources and the access. So half the time, you almost, family caregivers are training and they're proxying as a lot of people that have more, you know, they've got the ability and resources and skills and support. And that's another tough barrier that I think has some opportunity in the future.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about like, so you're talking about companies and organizations and stuff. Do people ever share information about doctors and say, oh, you know, I had this doctor and I mean, do you discourage that? Do you encourage it? What do you do on your app with stuff like that?
We don't have anything in our app where it's meant to be a place to
air your grievance,
exchange, you know, some of those situations. Yes. Yes. I think there's some social platforms out there that are doing a really nice job of creating a mm-hmm. space for that, where you can connect okay. on that level. And certainly I think some of those conversations mm-hmm. are unfolding. Now, there may be direct conversations and whatnot that's happening in our app, or people are sharing updates, and they might share that perspective. It's just not public. So it's not information that we can see and is consumed. Whereas on like a Facebook group, you know, that might be mm-hmm. aired gotcha. Publicly.
Okay. So. What are your, Crystal, what are your long-term aspirations for InterHive?
Oh, yeah. Well, it depends on when you say long-term. I'm always thinking like 10 okay. steps ahead. But 10 steps ahead for some people might be a year. For me, it might be like 25 years from now. I don't know. But I think it would be really powerful for me if we were part of a bigger collective. So I don't know if you want to call it a movement of sorts, but I think it's really important. We're just a really tiny speck, and this is a really difficult problem. And like I said earlier, it's risky. You might succeed, you might fail. You take what you learn and you hope you find, you know, some other minds and other people that share similar values that you can kind of mm-hmm. smash up with. And then collectively together, if you can form this bigger, group mm-hmm. of advocates of leaders that are wanting to create similar change for caregivers, mm-hmm. for the outcome, I think that would be powerful. Like if I can think about if nothing else comes of this and we can help one person and we can be part mm-hmm. of a collective, that would be amazing. Because I think right now, so many people that are in the caregiving realm forget that their wellness matters just as much right. as everyone else. So the people right. they care for, you know, the people that aren't getting care that they're working alongside. And I don't feel like we yeah. need to be burning out doing something that I think is probably one of the most compassionate, selfless yeah. jobs. And it's going to take a lot of effort. It's not a one person, a one business kind of thing. It's a collective yeah. paradigm shift. So I think aspirationally, I would love for InterHive to be part of that movement. I would love to find others who feel the same passion, who have just as much fire to continue to persist, and really believe that we can change this entire, we can shift how we think
I
about
it. So I got a couple of questions here. One's from the audience, but my question I want to ask is, I hear a lot about caregivers and, you know, and we all know how hard it is. Is there anything on your app that is geared towards caregiver wellness and keeping, you know, mental health and physical health and the well-being like that? Is there anything that focuses on that on InterHive?
Yeah, we actually have a journal. So mm-hmm. on that journal, it gives caregivers a place. We got feedback from our community and families that, you know, some people prefer to go and talk and others prefer to reflect and journal. And so that journal is just a really easy, it takes you a minute, you're prompted, how are you feeling? What were your life events? How much time were you able to spend on yourself today? And you can kind of track that over time. And then concurrently, you can track the care. So what were the care events today? I did some meal prep, I did some medication management, I went to appointments. I spent, you know, probably 20 hours of my day on that. That would be a long day, 10 hours of my day on that. And then you can see that relationship, because a lot of times as care becomes more complex and as the needs grow and as the time grows, you often see an impact to the wellness. And so it was really important for us to create this space to help raise mm-hmm. awareness around what does that relationship look like. And when you see, you know, maybe a trend or a sentiment of, you know, for a week, it was someone was saying, I had a really rough week. I wasn't feeling great. I didn't have much time on myself. That's a great mm-hmm. signal to then be able to us prompt and say, hey, we noticed you spend a lot of time on appointments. Here's something that will help you capture that information. And here's resource that will help you with transportation if you can't make it. So it's really trying to get ahead of that, because we know that, you're overwhelmed. Yeah. That's where burnout starts.
And it doesn't take long. Those data points, when somebody answers questions, are those data points put on a graph for people to visually see? Or do you collect that and then just kind of deliver it to them in a message that says, hey, we noticed in a trending kind of thing?
Both. So the first is how we share it right now. So it's very simple visuals that says, hey, on average, you spend, 15 hours a week. And typically your biggest caregiving event is mm-hmm. meal prep. generally you feel happy and you're spending about, you know, your battery's at X. And so we've got kind of this visual dashboard, if you will, that helps people see, you know, what is the relationship of what you're doing for yourself mm-hmm. versus the care. And then where you're going with it is the future of how can we use that information when we're tracking trends to then notify and pop a little message up that says, hey, we noticed, you know, you could use a little opportunity. Do you want to share this mm-hmm. with your community and see if yeah. you know, someone can help? And there's a community space on InnerHive where it could be something like, you know, food, transport. Those are two things that are always mm-hmm. a constant. And so you can just push a little update there and someone can say, yep, I've got this, or hey, you know, we'll collectively work with our movement group or our spiritual group or whatever it is that people find community in, and we're going to show up and we're going to support you. It's a lot of mental load sometimes for a caregiver to go and ask for help and to like tell their story over. So we're trying to make it easy to just log it. And then for us to do the work and say, here's something to consider, or we can go call and put this in and we can share this with your community. And so that is definitely a future aspect that we haven't entirely built out all the notifications.
That is
yet,
awesome. That's awesome. Do you, just for information's sake, do you collect that data and kind of try to understand that? This is happening here, and then so we're using these items to push out to these people. The only reason I'm asking that is because most of the organizations that we work with, the not-for-profits, are always looking for data-driven programs. And it's really focused right now on caregiver mental health mm-hmm. and well-being and how to relieve that. And so I was just wondering if there's any back-end data collection that is, and I'm always going to forget what they say. I'll think of the term here a minute, and it's just right on the tip of my head, and I should know this. But just for information's sake, I would be interested in knowing if you do that. If not, maybe considering that. Because they're always looking for those types of programs.
Outcome measures.
Measurable outcomes as far as, you know, okay, so if Mrs. Jones is having trouble and you can pinpoint, you know, this is her trouble area, and you're feeding her, suggestions, and then did that change for her? Mm-hmm. Did Mrs. Jones's, you know, score or response to that activity mm-hmm. improve? And just as a physical therapist, I always think about the physical part,
but that's what they always put. Yeah, that's
right. It's a lot emotional, but if you're, if you have a lot of emotion tied to the fact that, you know, your load to assist your loved one has increased, you know, you're doing a max transfer now versus a moderate transfer. Let's introduce a mechanical lift. Mm-hmm. And then how did that emotional response, change?
Yeah.
So just, I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. We run into a lot of people that a lot of, especially,
not-for-profits
that are looking for that evidence-based, programs. Mm-hmm. I'm very interested in that. So just for information's sake.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really great point. I think there's a lot of opportunity to be had in that journaling. It's one of the features that we had rolled out in probably the past, it's been this year predominantly. And so still a lot of learning, but it's funny that you raised that. We actually had someone else that had shared something similar, and they were looking at it from a perspective of how can I use it to then go and get funds from a government to show that I'm spending X amount of time on care and here's what I'm doing so that I can
to
qualify
justify your existence.
So we've had families using that.
Very true.
Yep. And then we've had families use it and say, I need to bring in, someone to help me at home. And, in some situations they have siblings and siblings are like, what are you spending all your time on? How can it possibly take that much time? And so when you've got this log and you start to see, well, check out how I'm caring and how many hours, then it makes it easier to go, oh, I get it. Okay. Let's collectively figure out how to get funding or throw in or find a way to support each other and rotate on some of these things. Yeah. So it becomes easier to say we're spending X amount of time on this. So many great opportunities from the perspective of how to change outcomes and looking at the wellness, because that relationship, caregiver wellness happens because that physical and mental load, it's just your energy level, your capacity to carry it all. And when you start to be in that space of struggle, it's easier for medications to be missed, appointments to be missed, care plans to not, you kind of slip or errors to happen. And then those are all avoidable hospitalizations for the care recipient. And then caregiver.
That's right. I love this, Crystal. I love the concept. I love the idea. I love what you guys are doing with it. What can we do? What can Cindy and I do? What can our viewers do to help support InterHive, to help support you and get the word out?
Yeah, I love that. Thank you for asking. You know, I think one of the challenges that we face is technology sometimes mm-hmm. can be scary, and trying to help people understand how technology is a tool. It's not necessarily going to replace the human aspect, but it can absolutely mm-hmm. make things easier. So I think there's going to be some education there, and I think we're open to feedback. So if others, you know, are willing to try and explore this and share, here's what worked, here's what didn't. We did our best to make it as simple as possible, but that's a really great area to learn from people. And then the second thing is, you know, disparate information is a real challenge. And our goal is to be the connective tissue for families. We want to be the point of truth for wellness and for care information. But a lot of times, like you guys said, in order to do that and to get out there, when you're kind of going up against organizations that are much larger, deeper pockets, it becomes harder for people to know what mm-hmm. tools are out there and what they can do and how they provide value. So I think our biggest opportunity right now is the more families that we can reach and connect with and learn from, the better we can build to be able to support them. And the more we can understand, you know, what does the future look like in terms of InterHive and collectively mm-hmm. the growth mm-hmm. together. So opening doors.
Okay, I love that. We'll
do the best we can
to help get the word out. Absolutely. We're out in the community a lot. Mm-hmm. Tell viewers, Crystal, how they can download InterHive. Where do they go to get it? How do they get involved?
Of course, yeah, you can go to our website. So it's InterHive.com, and InterHive is InnerHive.com. There's an option on there that if you wish just to use a desktop version, so you like to work on the computer, you can certainly go to download, or you can go to log in there. If you want to download and you prefer to use your phone, there's an Android option, and then there's a Apple option. So it will just link you right up to the Google Play and the App Store. Very easy to click through. Once you download, it's a pretty quick setup. And then from there, you can tap and go. So hit record, get all the notes in there, start to see your community build, look at resources that you need. Chat with me if you've got some questions and you need a little bit of guidance, and then, you know, eventually start to think about planning mm-hmm. for the future, logging how you're feeling in that journal. There's a lot of rich aspects of the app that kind of are meant to kind of help and meet everyone.
Is there a cost for that, Crystal, that comes along with the, downloading the app?
No monthly subscription or anything? Okay. There is an option for that, but the version of what you get, what I just shared, is free. So the subscription, there is an option, and we're actually going through some testing right now in terms of what that looks like. We're rolling out some additional features, but typically what that looks like is if you're going to have multiple co-owners, so multiple people with full permissioning, if you're going to have unlimited care recipients, so this is someone that wants to have, you know, do this for managed care for their children, managed mm-hmm. care for their parents. Possibly it could mm-hmm. be a professional who's, you know, has multiple mm-hmm. patients or clients, people that want an unlimited document center. But generally the app in its base feature set is free. We wanted to make it approachable and accessible for all. So that's been something
That's awesome. Very, very cool.
Yeah, I have really enjoyed talking with you, Crystal. I'm mm-hmm. so glad we finally got a chance to have you on the show. We were kind of going, before we got on here, you said we've been trying to get you on here since last year. So, you know, I'm so glad we finally got that chance. We love, love, love what you're doing, and anything we can do to encourage you to help get the word out. And to keep things going. It's amazing what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So we appreciate you being on here with us.
Yes, we very do.
Yeah, thank you. This has been fun. I'm glad, that we finally made it. I think that kind of gives people an indication of
it is
life
crazy.
Is crazy. It's hard to like hold
it sure,
together.
It sure is. Yes. So before we leave, Sin, mm-hmm. We want to give a shout out to somebody in the audience and also that is such a big supporter and a big help to the AE Corner team, mm-hmm. Kathleen Quinn. Today is her birthday. Happy birthday, Kathleen. We're so excited to have you in our lives.
That's
you're just an awesome person, and we really enjoy having you in our lives.
Yes.
So we want to say one more time, we want to talk about being at the
Expo,
the Abilities Expo in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. that's coming up in June.
Yes, June 20th through 22nd.
Yep.
And we'll be there. Come out, say hi, come and look at all the stuff that we've got going on. I guess we're going to wrap it up for now and yep. see you next time. We're going to take get a word from our sponsor, from mm-hmm. Mobility Towel.
Yep.
But we will see you all on the next Engines Off.
So as you can see, you can grab the loops. And with the weights, it's going to allow that towel to stay. You don't have to grasp the towel. You don't have to grasp.